I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a fascinating show in store for you this evening, full of some amazing concepts. We're going to be talking about the Mayans. We're going to be talking about polar reversals. We're going to be talking timelines and timeline shifts, and probably get around to doing some interviewing with information from Muji. And before we get to all that information, which will be coming fast and furious, as usual, we'd like to do a little Japa yoga, the way we usually start our ET yoga program. So for the next few minutes, I invite you to participate in a mantra repetition called Japa yoga, as led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that now, it'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari.
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Hari Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om, Om Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om, Om Hari 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 Om, Om Hari Om Hari Om, Om Hari Om Hari Om, Om Hari 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 Om, Om Hari Om Hari Om, Om Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and one of my main spiritual teachers. I'd like at this time to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll also know that I totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's in conjunction with the idea of being sovereign and being self-empowered. And if you're initiated into higher consciousness, you're doing so with the understanding that thought creates and how important your beliefs are with respect to creating a healthy living body. And also, you all realize that the earth is such a wonderful place by providing us with all the herbs and plants that are necessary to assist us with respect to healing any outer condition. And if you'd like to do some research on that, as I have done in the past and presented information on ET Yoga, I started out with following up on Greg Braden's YouTube article entitled Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, and that was about a woman who went to Beijing, China with a fairly large tumor. And this was all video recorded, and they video recorded the tumor disappearing in about 3 minutes. And that was actually done at a Qigong center. And I followed up on that information and actually got a lot of information about the Qigong center itself. It had been operating in Beijing, China for about 10 years, had about an 85% cure rate with all types of diseases, including cancer. And they have no operations there, and they use no prescription medicine that comes from Big Pharma. And so, in point of fact, what they've proven is that operations in Big Pharma are not necessary to achieve a high rate of success in healing. And to me, that's the whole idea of medicine. It's all about people, not about profit. And thus, my comments at the top of the show when I talk about distancing yourself from mainstream medical, and because I appreciate that it takes a lot of courage to go against the road most taken. A lot of people feel as if they cannot survive and are totally dependent upon the medical system, and it's not objectively true, and thus I applaud people's efforts in this area to disconnect from mainstream medical. And as Barbara Marciniak, channeling Palladian information, has also indicated, it'll probably be about another 10 years before this charade called medical healing and these abusive procedures, as well as Big Pharma, topples and disintegrates. Because what's not going to be created from integrity will, in point of fact, crumble away along with other old systems. Very antiquated. And moving on now to other kind of information, I'd like to also take this opportunity to give my thanks and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience and for those people who take time to email me. And tonight I will be presenting some scientific observations. I can kind of call it like Astronomy 101. And if I ever on the show give out information that you believe is not objectively correct, I appreciate your emailing me and letting me know about that, and I will make a public correction on the next program. And as well, I appreciate input from the listening audience with respect to program content, topics that you'd like the ET Yoga viewpoint on. And you can always email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And if you forget about that, you can always go to my website at www.etyoga.com. And also, you'll probably find that information comes by fast and furious on the show. So if you'd like to take your time and go over the programs, there's an archive that's done usually up by the next day. And you can access that through BBS Radio, or you can do that at my website and go to etyoga.com. And on the main page, there's a button for radio archives. Just hit that one button, and you'll go to see a list of dates and times of programs. And click on whichever one you want and listen at your convenience. Interesting for me this week in preparing for this evening's show, because generally when I do a show, there's a period of a few days that goes by, and I haven't a clue what the next show is going to be about. And then, I don't know, the information just kind of comes. And, well, it kind of was getting pretty close to doing the next show again, and was almost didn't know what I was going to be talking about this evening. And I kept getting this information showing up, the same thing all over the place. And it concerns the Inuit elders that are up near the North Pole. And the Inuit elders maintain that the sun doesn't rise where it used to be. And they maintain that they have a longer daylight to hunt. And the sun is higher than it used to be. And it warms up quicker than before. And there are melting glaciers and thinning or disappearing sea ice. And according to them, the stars, the sun, and the moon have all changed, affecting the temperature and affecting the way the wind blows. And they're maintaining that, you know, their hunting period usually lasts about an hour. It's now 2 hours. And an interesting perspective. They've even written NASA, apparently, with their observations. And it also connected with my own personal experience, because I like to get exercise in the form of playing basketball, and I'm on a pretty regular schedule. And at the court where I play, I usually go to one end, because at the other end of the court, the sun's usually directly behind the backboard, and if you're shooting free throws, the sun's glaring in your eyes. And so it turns out the sun is at the same time of year and at the same time of day, from my observation, and I've been telling other people about this for the last few years, the sun's not in the same place it used to be. That's my own observation. And I'm also got involved with sun gazing, and when I walk to the park, I stop in the same place. And when I do my sun gazing, it's always exactly in the same place and at the same time. And even when I'm doing sun gazing, I'm noticing in that activity as well that the sun is not in the same place it used to be. So that's my own personal observations. And then I kept coming up across this article about these Inuit, and I'm consistent with their findings. And it's not easy to find, but if you do go around and do a little surfing on the net, there's one particular site. It's called Axis Shift and Global Epic Changes. That's Axis Shift and Global Epic Changes. And they're a pretty scientific website, and they're noticing that in 2006, According to their information, the Earth shifted 850 miles in 2011, 1,200 miles in 2014, 2,000 miles, and in 2015 they noticed that it went back to the 2006 position of 850 miles. To my way of thinking, that would indicate some kind of a wobble, and clearly dealing with some sort of movement in the tilt of the Earth. And just to kind of then follow up on that whole idea, I started looking into the Mayans, and I think I picked up some new information about the Mayans. Of course, we've all heard about the Mayan calendar and the, of course, the dire predictions that most people made about the Mayans said this and the Mayans said that, and the Mayans predicted the end of the world in 2012, etc. Well, from what I can make out from more objective sources, the Mayans never made any kind of prophetic prophecies like that. What the Mayan calendar indicated was a little bit more profound and a lot more positive, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many others. And for one thing, the Mayans were amazing, amazing people. I mean, we're talking about them leaving us a Mayan calendar that was done 5,000 years ago that was able to accurately predict to the precise day the alignment of our Earth, the Sun, Halcyon, which is our central star, Sirius, and the great central Sun, and that alignment did occur exactly as per their calendar on December 21st, 2012. And to do a little what I call astronomy 101, apparently it takes 25,627 years for our sun in the solar system to orbit Halcyon, which is our central sun. Halcyon being one of the main stars in the Pleiades. And by the way, I don't think that even in modern science books, it's indicated that Halcyon is our central sun and that the our sun orbits it with our solar system. I'm not sure. Not it may be in some books someplace, but for the most part, it's not being taught. And I also noticed that astrophysicist Alexei Dmitriev, he says that both Voyager 1 and 2 satellites that when they went out, they revealed that our sun, as well as the entire solar system, is now moving into the interstellar energy cloud, and that's called the photon belt. And the photon belt is rotating counter or perpendicular to our orbit. And so thus, if you think of it as like a tire-shaped object that's perpendicular to our orbit, so we pass through this at the top and the bottom of our 25,627-year cycle. And Dmitriev guesses that it'll take about 2,000 years for us to pass through this cloud. And our central sun, Halcyon, orbits our greater central sun, Sirius, which completes its 225 million year orbit around the Milky Way center. And that would equal one galactic year. And another kind of interesting fact that isn't in school books these days, but the school books that we noticed when we were growing up showed the solar system with all the planets and a kind of a flat trajectory of the planets orbiting the sun in a counterclockwise direction. Well, turns out that's not true either. And if you look at the some of the work of Nassim Haramine, as well as many places now on the internet, you can see some really beautiful videos of exactly how our planets really rotate around the sun. And basically, our sun travels and in a spiral at about 482,000 miles per second, or 4,222,320 miles per year. And it's in a helical orbit. And we live in a helical solar system. So the sun moves, so to keep up with the sun, we have a helical orbit. And that would be most, I guess people would think of it in terms of a picture, it's more like a vortex or a spinning spiral. And it's a very beautiful thing to see, and I would suggest that you go on the internet and check out this helical, H-E-L-I-C-A-L orbit. And we do not have a flat orbit. And there's been some other kind of really interesting observations, and Greg Braden is one of my favorite scientists, and he tells us, actually, that the sun seems to be losing its magnetics. And it's actually right now, it's called a steady-state magnetic field. And apparently, when they sent out some satellites to check the sun, this was back in the 1980s, actually, what they found was when the probes went to the southern part of the sun to measure the south pole of the sun, they noticed they were shocked to find out that it was pretty much neutral. And by the time, about 4 or 5 months later, when the satellites got to the center of the sun, they found that the center was about the same as the South Pole. And then, more surprisingly, when the satellite reached the top part of the sun to check the gravitational pull there, what they found out was it's all the same. So the sun no longer has a north and south pole, and kind of interesting also, they noticed in 1986, 1987, there was a giant storm on Jupiter, but now it rotates in the opposite direction. And then related to this global warming that supposedly we have, well, it turns out it's not just the Earth that's heating up, but all the planets are heating up. And the fascinating thing about that, which there doesn't seem to be a logical answer to, is that the sun is actually cooling down, but the outer planets are heating up. So the question being, what's generating the heat? That one I'm not so sure about. But I really liked Greg's explanation, though, about the electromagnetic fields of the Earth and where they come from. And it turns out that the Earth rotates, and also the core mantle rotates and the crust rotate, and they all rotate at different speeds. And he gives an example of a simple experiment that if you took a piece of iron and you wrapped a copper coil around it, and then you run electricity through that coil, what you'll find is that then it develops magnetic fields. And the top part would be have a north pole, and the bottom part would have a south pole. And if you ran the energy, turned off the electric current, and then ran the energy from the opposite direction, it would create poles in opposite to the first scenario. So, and he's saying that that's exactly perfectly analogous to what's happening today with the magnetic poles. And in fact, according to Greg Braden, the magnetic poles are actually weakening. And they're weakening a lot, to the point that he's saying that the more the fields drop, the faster they drop. So it's not a linear function, it's a geometric function. And if you know anything about geometric function, you know that when things start changing geometrically, it happens fairly quickly. And in the past, these drops were precursors to magnetic pole reversals. And he's stating that how fast are they dropping? Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being at the high end, in 1996, we were between 1 and 1.5 on a scale of 10. So that's what he would call the situation with the magnetic poles. And in point of fact, he actually has a book out. It's called Awakening to the Zero Point. Where we're headed at this point is we're headed actually to a magnetic pole reversal. And it's not necessarily an alarming thing. And as Bashar would say, no event comes with built-in meanings. So there's, again, very positive effects of having this pole reversal. And I think there'd be really positive effects. The change, according to Braden, is characterized as dramatic shifts in the physical parameters of Earth, accompanied by a rapid transformation in human understanding, perception, and experience. And this time is referred to as the shift of ages. And I think that's very, very, very relevant, this whole concept about a shift of ages. Because, again, referring back to the Mayans, knew about this 5,000 years ago, because what the Mayan calendar does, it points to this particular time period. And here's an interesting shocker. Apparently, if you look and you try and find information about the Mayans, they just kind of disappeared. Well, where did they disappear to? Well, the late Dolores Cannon, who did past life or regression therapy, and some of her clients actually had former lives as Mayans, and it turns out that in her experience, the Mayans actually shifted out of this dimension, and the Mayan calendar is all about leaving us a map of when it would be possible for actually the whole world, not just a particular culture, to shift into the next dimension. So that was the purpose of leaving behind the Mayan calendar. And another amazing scientific fact is that until about 1980 or so, the Schumann frequency of the Earth, or the Earth's heartbeat, was always 7.83 hertz. And in 1986, it increased to like 8.6 hertz. And again, this is one of those things that the more it increases, the faster it increases. And there are readings now of definitely over 12, and according to Greg Braden, he thinks the zero point is when the Schumann frequency hits 13, and the rotation of the Earth actually stops. And this is kind of fascinating with respect to this experiment with the magnets, because what creates the electricity in the Earth is the rotation. And if the rotation stops, then what will happen is that we have a magnetic pole reversal. And according to Braden, what would then happen would be probably there would be a brief period of time where the Earth is actually not spinning at all, and then it would spin in the opposite direction. So then, in point of fact, the sun would rise in the east, or rise in the west and set in the east, opposite to what it does today. Very, very, very interesting speculation, and coincides with the Mayans and what they really said about this time frame. And also I noticed that the Andromeda Council, when they list the 2012 to 2016 period, they anticipate geophysical earth changes, earthquakes, volcanoes going off, wave events, and these will all continue to happen, inclusive of a rotational shift of the Earth's crust, with the present-day east-west orientation of the continents moving into their new, more north-south orientation. And there is also expected to be a magnetic pole shift, a reversal during this time. And according to them, it would likely not cause any problems for the people of the Earth. And there is, of course, likely to be a temporary period of adjustment of the Earth's electrical systems, but this is expected to last only a few hours' time. They also state that the 23.5-degree off-axis tilt of the Earth that presently exists should be corrected as well and will be no longer, and this will mean a much more temperate climate for the Earth overall. And I think that's kind of interesting. Now, I guess it's open to speculation in terms of what kind of a temporary period of adjustment there would be after this, because clearly things that would, during a reversal, the electrical systems would not be functioning. Okay, so now we're talking about, I guess you can use your imagination on that one, computers, electricity, no, not happening, cars not happening, airplanes not flying. I mean, this the transitional period, they think it'll be a few hours. Well, that's debatable. However, interestingly enough, it would definitely be quite the event. And apparently there is some historical documentation that, in point of fact, this does happen periodically to the Earth, and there is some historical records that indicate this kind of shift. Now, interestingly enough, it would appear that related to timelines that we're also in some kind of a timeline issue here at the moment, too, because what we're seeing on the surface is that we seem to have the remnants of the old timeline, and we also have been on a new timeline since 2012. And one seems to be remaining in 3D, and one, it looks like it'll transform into 5D, and allowing for two divergent and nearly opposite realities to exist. And one of the things I experienced years ago was a realization of this concept about timelines and why do timelines split. In my experience, the timelines split when realities can't coexist. In other words, if one timeline can accommodate a variety of beliefs, and that's fine, but it can't handle certain situations. Like, for example, let's take World War II. World War II, the way it turned out, would be, let's say, one timeline. Another timeline would be the Germans won World War II. Well, no doubt that possibility probably does exist in some other timeline that we didn't experience. However, both those timelines can't exist because both sides can't win. So there has to be a split at that point, and a new timeline's created. And I think that's, personally, that's my take on what's going on right now. In fact, if you think about a destiny formula, well, everything is energy. Energy follows thought. Thought becomes belief, and belief determines your reality, and reality shapes your destiny. So if you're looking for a simple formula, to me, that would be it. And also, probably a good idea, along with dissolving your attachments and addictions to the old 3D timeline, you'll probably want to travel light, which means ditching the box of bad memories that you've been hauling around all these years. You only keep them because you're addicted to your own sadness. So once you overcome that, the box of bad memories won't be necessary. And once you decide to take responsibility for creating the life you have, it's so much easier to drop all the scenarios of blame and whose fault stuff is. And so that should lighten the load as well. And it would appear that the old timeline has perpetual wars and GMO'd food and a planet-wide police state. But energy follows thought. So if your thoughts are focused upon ways or wars and rumors of wars and the world they thrive in, that is where your destiny will unfold. And you cannot safely make your exit on the freeway if your eyes are glued on the latest smash-up. So I think the idea here is to keep focused on your spiritual goals and don't get too lost in all the negative fear mongering that's going on. From my perspective, what we're looking at here are two timelines. And we've all got our choice as to what timeline we want to experience. And it all ties together. My way of thinking is that this time frame is clearly one of the most remarkable that's ever occurred across the ages. And this potential shift, I think, also a concept that Dolores Cannon championed, as well as I've had visions of this as well, the whole concept of two Earths. And the one Earth is stays in the 3D timeline, and the second Earth, which is called the New Earth, is actually in 5D. And she gives an interesting example. Apparently, she used to go around the country giving lectures, and one of her friends that had a similar vision about this two-Earth concept is that in her vision, the people that were on the 5D Earth, when they entered into 5D, they go, "Oh, we made it." And the ones that were on the 3D Earth were saying, "Oh, those other people, I don't know, I guess they died or disappeared, believing all that garbage they believed in." And so these two worlds then are different frequencies, so they're not aware of each other. And it's a fascinating concept. It's one that I personally buy into. I think that it's highly probable that we're going to see this kind of shift. And I think the Mayans were pointing to this time as the start of the beginning of that process. And that it's also possible, and I'm just saying possible, it's just as an idea, that if there is a polar magnetic reversal and the rotation of the Earth stops, now there has been some talk about 3 days of darkness, 3 days of... apparently there's some historical references to a long night and a long day, maybe not necessarily 3 days, but to my way of thinking, it would be the optimum time for such a split to occur. So food for thought in that area. And my hat's off to the Mayans for 5,000 years ago knowing information about the movements of the celestial bodies that apparently we have problems with even knowing today or teaching in what we think of as a modern astronomy. And no doubt the Mayans got that information from originally from extraterrestrial sources in the initial stages, at least. I'd also like to share with the listening audience tonight some information concerning child rearing, and it comes from Spirituality and Health magazine, and it has to do with four stages and six wisdom rules of Tibetan child rearing. And I guess this all comes from the concept that if we're trying to create a new world, we might want to be paying a lot more attention to how we're raising children and what sort of concepts we're teaching them. And I don't know, looking around at all the killing games with the technologies that we have and associated values and belief systems, I don't know that we're going down the right road here. And I haven't taken a lot of time to really study these four stages and six wisdom rules, but I'm providing to the listening audience as food for thought, because it's come to me from a couple of different sources. And the first period of child rearing for the Tibetans is from the first 5 years of life. And the Tibetans believe that during the first years of his or her life, the child should be treated like a king. And a clear line between obeying and understanding must, though, be visible. Nothing should be prohibited, and distraction must be the tool used by all parents. These first years are the ones when activity, curiosity, and interest in life are shaped. And the parent must not forget that the child is still made to build long logical chains, and for any mistakes made, punishment will be perceived as suppression from the position of strength. The second period, from 5 to 10 years, you treat the child, they say, like a slave, and this is a time when tasks should be given to the child and they have to be completed. And for any failed tasks, punishments can be accompanied by explanations and advice. However, physical punishment should be avoided at all costs. This is the time when intelligence is developing actively. Also, the child must learn to predict people's reactions to his or her actions, cause a positive attitude to him or her, and avoid negative manifestations. Focusing on empowering the child with a love for knowledge must be the main focus. And the third period is from 10 to 15, and then they say treat the child like an equal. And they state that while this may sound a bit silly, as you are still the one who is more experienced and knowledgeable, the child must be treated as being the same as you. It's now high time to constantly check with him or her on all important issues in order to provide and promote independence. Giving constantly tips and advice while listening to their requests and challenges should now be your main focus. And during this time, the autonomy and independence of thought are developing. And the last period starts at 15 years, where you treat the child with respect. Respect is the last but not least main lesson for your child. It's now late for any other common sense teaching values, and it's time you only have to reap the fruits of your labor. And according to the Tibetans, Wisdom Rule 1 is respect the simplicity of a child's mind. A child has a natural phase of simplicity of mind before it is developmentally ready to interrelate experiences, senses, emotions, and thoughts with its situation and past experiences. Wisdom Rule number 2, don't neglect the imitation, memorization, touch, and movement. Tibetans emphasize teaching children through imitation, memorization, touch, and movement so the full meaning of the material can get into consciousness intuitively as well as intellectually. The third wisdom rule is create a clean learning environment. For Tibetans, the environment for learning needs to be clean, nurturing, and full of touch and a sense of the sacred. Mistakes should be corrected without judgment. Also, children are vulnerable to impressions and need to be protected and healed when they experience fearful or intruding images. And the fourth one is the core values focus. Compassion, honesty, and sharing are valued qualities in children and can be instilled in young children through their natural imitations of adults, through discipline as needed, and through recognition and celebration of prized behaviors. The fifth wisdom rule is harmony for all. Harmony in relationships is highly valued. It is important to teach even very young children how to interact harmoniously rather than competitively with other children, adults, animals, insects, and nature. And the last being no humiliation and corporal punishment. Tibetan parents believe in no humiliation and corporal punishment. The only reason to beat children is that they cannot fight back. So I thought those were kind of an interesting perspective from a culture quite different from the way that we look at child rearing in North America. And I might also add that, in my opinion, like in general, you know, we don't own our children. We're the caregivers, and certainly I think our role is to, when they're young, is to protect them, and as well to nurture their abilities and their passion. And if you can do your passion, that's very important. And I was actually listening to a YouTube video that had to do with several channelers, and they made an interesting point that a lot of people, and granted, times are tough economically, but a lot of people are work at jobs that they just hate. And if you hate your job or you're doing things that you don't like doing, they made a point that it actually distances you from your higher self. So it's a very, very, very interesting concept, and also one that would have a major effect on your spiritual growth. And I've always felt that if, as parents, you can provide a roof over the kids' heads until they can find their passion, that's a key thing, because we should all be doing our passion. If we're not doing our passion, then other people don't benefit from that special gift that we have as well, which is in that area where our passion is. I'd now like to move on to some information from Muji. And actually, the main article actually talks about everything is perfect. And the question that was given to the Muji was that in spiritual circles, I often hear that everything which arises is perfect as it is. And what it arises from, God, the universe, oneness, or whatever name one would like to use, is utterly complete and whole. If this is so, then why this dream, this nightmare of duality? No one sane would create such a nightmare full of suffering. This was the question put to Muji. And if you don't know about Muji, it's Moji. There's lots of interviews and articles about him. Highly recommend him. And so Muji's answer to this was that at the moment you call it a nightmare, I call it a divine play. If perfection did not appear as imperfection, you would not have even the concept of perfection. If you did not know sorrow, you would not appreciate joy. If you did not know the sense of what is bad, you would not have the sense of what is good. If you did not have the sense of being a person, you would not have the ability to have relationship with any being. If you did not have the sense of I, you would not have the sense of other. If the perfect did not manifest as diversity, there would be no experience at all. Surely life is to taste these varied flowers and still remember who and what you are beyond the limited sense of personal identity. Do you know who you are, really? We seem to forget our original nature and embrace a misconception about ourself, which brings us pain. This misconception also gives us the sense of autonomy, of privacy, of creative pride, but it seems to eclipse the intuitive recognition of our innate harmony and wholeness. And so we must go through this game of existence using all our powers to discover our true nature. In manifesting us as human beings, consciousness continues to be creative through the human instrument. Human beings are not the owners or controllers of consciousness. We are the expressions of consciousness. We are not merely the characters in existence. We are existence itself and the witness of the existence. But if we are deeply enmeshed in the identity of being a person, the play will seem heavier, less kind, and more confused. This heaviness is also the expression of consciousness. It is not possible for the perfect to become imperfect. The only way it could become imperfect is to dream it. Perhaps this is why it is called awakening. It is awakening from the sleep and ignorance of the egoic identity. As we come back to ourselves, we begin to appreciate the greatness of this play. When you wake up, you see that all of this is a dream, that you have always been only this wholeness. Nightmare is simply part of the dream, and it is made mostly out of egoic thoughts. I want this, I don't want that, I, me, 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 mine, mine, mine. Sometimes we think, if it was up to me, I would make a better world. But if you had the choice, even the highest choice, whatever you will create is much less than life gives now. If you could choose, you would always choose chocolate-flavored experiences, and you would not grow or evolve. Sometimes we grow in a true way through challenging experiences, through difficulties, and through pain. Ultimately, we aspire for freedom, for truth, not for delicious experiences which are only momentary. Even now, your life could be full of gratitude that you don't express. There are some people who, if they had your legs, your eyes, your health, they would be full of gratitude. They don't have these, and they are still full of gratitude. And to that extent, they have a joy. They have a peace within themselves. Sometimes people with far less than the worst you have show more gratitude than you, who have far more than they could aspire for. If you want to come out of this nightmare, start to say thank you. Find things to say thank you for. There are many, far more than to say no thank you for. All this manifestation is still the Garden of Eden, but we don't see this because we see with eyes cultivated in imperfection, ignorance, and selfishness. When we look with the eyes of the self, everything becomes divine. When one experiences the truth, it's not that this world is replaced with another. The same is here, but the eyes have changed from eyes of a person to eyes of presence. They become complete again and see perfection even in the apparent imperfections of life. And that's from good old Muji. And I'd like to also as an additional thought to our original talking about the universe and polar shifts and our journey through the photon belt, there's lots of talk about another celestial object in our solar system and the ramifications that that may cause. I should note that there's some interesting YouTube information from Alex Collier concerning that and how that our many friends, the extraterrestrials, the positive ones, apparently are actually providing a shield to deflect certain gravitational impacts that such a body would have on the Earth. Thus, again, I think we see the hand of divine intervention with respect to this amazing positive timeline that we're on. And I'd now like to share with the listening audience a technique from Sri Ramana Maharshi. It's called the Who Am I technique. And just before I do that, I'd like to pass on my best wishes towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in alignment with that, some Pleiadian suggestions with respect to personal intentions, that you effortlessly intend to always be safe in all things you do, that you effortlessly intend to always be in the right place at the right time, and that you effortlessly intend to be safe in all things you do, and that you effortlessly intend full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And one of the techniques that can be very useful in this regard is the Who Am I technique, or the Vichara. And it can be done, I guess, optimally after you do asanas and pranayams, but not a prerequisite. You find the most comfortable place you can, get in the highest place that you know how to get to, and then place your full consciousness in your third eye center or ajna center. And after doing this, you would then state to yourself, "Who am I?" and do that about 30, 35 times at the frequency and whatever rate seems most comfortable to you. It's not really a right or wrong way to do this. It's more a matter of practice and experience. And but the main thing here is to try to get your whole consciousness centered totally on being a spot in your third eye, and become that spot. And then after you've successfully done that, then you would state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.